Welcome to the Picture Poem Podcast for October 2009, coming to you again from Eagle Valley in the South Wallowas. This week we'll be featuring new poems, texts, metaphysical miniatures, and translations read to you and composed by Cliff Grigo. Land Above the Trees. Paradise only lasts for a day. Let time stretch out to eternity. Let space open up to the stars. The new ice you found at the morning spring is already gone. See that lily over there? It only lasts an hour. Time to write that love letter you've been waiting for 1,000 years. Figure out those equations that Einstein knew he had wrong. The sound of rushing water mixes with the late summer air, as it always has, as it always has. Your next life can begin another day. Pilgrim's Path. There are many stones on the pilgrim's path. Under each one lies another piece of yourself. You trip, you stumble, you fall. Sometimes you turn the stones over and find faded pictures of lost loves. Long list of things you should have done or could have said. But here, now, at this crossing, which way to go? Down that jeep track over there to the big city below? Or follow this ridgeline up into the trackless country of Lord knows where. Which way to go? Which way to go? The sound of rushing water rises in the cool morning air. It's time to go now. Time to go. Money is nothing. New to the West? Don't be a fool looking for gold. The real money is in nothing. The nothing of the insurance man making millions out of the nothing that does not happen. The nothing of the banker who makes millions out of the nothing that backs up his loans. Or the nothing of the powerful industrial war maker, presidents and whole congresses in his back pocket, the man who makes billions out of the nothing he is about to make out of us all. Here, along the way, many beautiful campsites offer themselves for the night. But to know when to keep walking and when to stay, and after stopping, to know without a doubt that this place where one stands, here I am at home. A name. For Evelyn Fisher of Annie's Cafe. Armies have sergeants, monks have masters, pilgrims must go it alone, Somebody give me a name for the energy of breaking camp and heading out into the unknown. Deep water. In the present adverse cultural climate, with its perennial waste and war, and utterly mindless violence against the earth, mimic the alpine plants. Grow close to the ground. Keep a tight cushion of friends clustered around you. Wear a coat of densely woolly white hairs, and especially send roots through every crack and crevice down to deep, reliable water. Ethical design. Repair, reuse, recycle. Three imperatives of a new spirit of ethical design. Ethical, because it expands the circle of moral and legal responsibility to include the whole of the living earth. Imperative, because it sees with granite-like clarity the necessity of the first principle of all design, no waste. Energy iPod. The only reason we do not have an iPod for energy right now, that is, a handy little device you could put in your pocket that condenses and stores, instead of an entire library of information or data, in entire households worth of kilowatts, is that those who profit from keeping us dependent on the Stone Age fuels of fire and hydrocarbons wish to continue doing so until the supplies are exhausted, and for obvious reasons. That ExxonMobil wants to keep selling us oil until we enter a new dark age is, after all, only reasonable and logical. That's their business. But that governments worldwide do likewise is not reasonable and logical. Clearly, if the whole of Shakespeare can be condensed to the head of a pin, so can the whole of Einstein. Clear also is that this will not happen until money and the distortions of power it buys are in a bold and simple way eliminated from politics. The only force capable of making this happen, it seems to me, is the natural convergence of common sense, respect for truth, and the reasoned voice of public opinion. So an iPod for energy is not as far-fetched as it might sound. For the light of the sun to burn at night, and a new solar era to begin, we need only turn off the switch on the blinding glare of wholly unnecessary corruption. For the young, a few necessities of the artistic life. An abundance of wonder, an absence of fear, the fierce doubt of spiritual freedom, a love of self, a love of other, a love of earth. The calm of clear, cold night air just after a winter storm. The quiet patience of a stone pine. the excellence which comes with determination, diligence, and devotion in all matters of craft and technique. And like a mountain spring, a natural ebb and flow of giving and receiving, indifferent if others do or do not choose to drink, while asking nothing in return. And lastly, an intense passion for awakening, one at a time and all at once, all the above qualities in the young, or in the just younger than you. The Two Faces of Empire. Sometimes, empire puts on a happy, cheerful face as it takes what it wants from you, all the while promising you peace and protection, and giving you a solid silver medal stamped with the president's image. Other times, empire puts on a straightforward, mean and ugly face, which projects military power and a willingness to use it. Like the Romans are said to have said, it doesn't matter if they love or hate you, as long as they fear you. For those peoples who are suppressed and exploited, which face, say, an American president puts on, makes very little difference. Democrats, for example, seem to prefer the cheerful face, whereas Republicans evidently tend towards the mean and ugly. The real question, however, is not the face which is used, which after all is merely a projection, but rather how much longer the violence of empire can continue to wear the cloak of democracy. For this contradictory hybrid form of government, a form of government which should reasons of clarity be called democratic empire, the one based on freedom and civil rights, the other on exploitation and different forms of economic slavery, must necessarily be threatened with collapse on two fronts simultaneously. There will be the protest on the home front, with citizens, especially those who do not benefit from the spoils of empire, or who feel that it is morally unjust, demanding more open and less corrupt representative governance. At the same time, liberation struggles in the physically far away, but in terms of modern information technologies right in your living room, resource colonies, will resist, as they always have, all suppression and exploitation. So, regardless of which face is put on for public display, what I'm calling democratic empire must necessarily collapse because of its contradictory nature. It did in the Greece of Athens. It did in the Rome of Julius Caesar. It did almost in the Great Britain of Winston Churchill. And now, in the North America of Mr. Obama, contradictions, as any naturalist knows, are non-renewable. Contradictions, because they are in essence conflicting movements of energy fighting one another, can only be kept alive by massive artificial inputs of energy from outside the system, which in turn can only be obtained by massive amounts of waste and use of force, no matter how you look at it. Not a pretty face, indeed. The Root, a long line sonnet. Upon hearing Nigel North play John Dowland. Oh, come again, sweet love, soft rounded belly of wood, resonance rich with bright stars and dark loam, pure instrument of the unseen platonic realm. By what strange demonic twist of fate did your fine form fall into disfavor? Like a queen, much beloved, yet banished to a faraway isle, you've suffered eternities of turbulent seas, waves of sharp steel strings, of harsh, amplified sounds. So now, come again, sweet love. Let us dare open your velvet protective case, let down your youthful brains, and let the coming age find new spirit on your strings. Let the recluse tune your pangs by mountain springs. Poets, find new rhythms to match your most dissonant chords. And bards, play to kings bent on war as you sing of peace. Next up in the podcast is a translation from Ryoko from an early collection called Die Stimme, the Voices, composed at the turn of the 20th century in Paris. The one poem I'll do for you in both German and English is the title poem of the set. Die Stimme, Titelblatt. Die Reichen und Glücklichen haben gut schweigen. Niemand will wissen, was sie sind. Aber die Dürftigen müssen sich zeigen, müssen sagen, ich bin blind, oder ich bin im Begriff, es zu werden, oder es geht mir nicht gut auf Erden, oder ich habe ein krankes Kind, oder da bin ich zusammengefügt. Und vielleicht, dass das gar nicht genügt, und weil alle sonst wie an Dingen an ihnen vorbeigehen, müssen sie singen. Und da hört man noch guten Gesang. Freilich, die Menschen sind seltsam. Sie hören lieber Kastraten in Knabenchören. Aber Gott selber kommt und bleibt lang, wenn ihn diese Beschnittenen stören. Title page. It's easy for the rich and fortunate to be silent. Nobody wants to know who they are. That is why the destitute must show themselves, must say, I am blind, or that is what I'm about to become, or it's not going very well with me here on earth, or I have a sick child, or this is where I'm kind of all stuck together. And perhaps even that is not enough. Despite everything, as if they were things, people walk right by, and so they must sing. And one hears good music there. Truly, people are strange. They'd rather hear castrati's in boys' choirs. But God himself comes and remains a long time when these disfigured ones begin to disturb him. Ethical Imperatives, A Meditation on Earthrise. The first imperative of ethics is that ethics itself should not be thought of as belonging primarily to what is now considered religion, but rather as a primary dimension of all human activity. Here, primary means that it is the first aspect to be considered in all action, in all decision-making, and not the last, as a kind of half-hearted, feel-good clean-up action on Sundays, intended to mask and cover up guilt. All action resonates in space and time. In the view being considered here, all action resonates in space and time. Sometimes only a second or two, sometimes for centuries, sometimes only a few centimeters out from my body, sometimes perhaps to infinity. Outwardly, this is ethical consequence. Inwardly, it is ethical conscience. The key feature of this complementary inner and outer movement of consequence and conscience is the breadth of the circle of awareness and responsibility. The breadth of the circle of awareness and responsibility. The great leap of consciousness, brought home in the historic Earthrise photograph of 40 years ago, perhaps the most important image of our time, for me it certainly is that it shows to the mind of compassion with granite-like clarity that the necessary breadth of this circle of awareness and responsibility begins and ends with the whole of the living earth, and not with largely arbitrary, conflicting fragments like present nation-states. Necessity is a thing of great philosophical beauty. I've often said this. Necessity is a thing of great philosophical beauty. This is so because necessity awakens, and in a most powerful way brings together the very best of our intellectual and spiritual energies, both individually and collectively. Just as the wild proposal of the poet-politician, that we must go to the moon not because it is easy, but because it is difficult, crystallized and brought together an entire generation of creativity, we need now, it seems to me, to see that the dual imperatives of the new millennium are ending waste and ending war. Ending waste because it in one word summarizes where the conventions of culture are out of line with the laws of nature. Eliminate waste, and you solve the problem of pollution, renewable energy, corrupt agricultural practices, and climate change all at once. In ending war, because of the destructive insanity of contemporary weapons, and it is insanity because now the entire earth is at stake. This is perhaps the central fact of our time, that it is no longer a question of violence or non-violence, but rather of non-violence or non-existence. As Dr. King pointed out, also about 40 years ago. Seen from this larger perspective, it becomes clear, perhaps, that waste and war are essentially two sides of one movement, of one problem. Who would not say that from the perspective of the moon, that waste is not humanity's total war on nature, and that war, in turn, is not humanity's total waste of its own spiritual essence and promise? quiet water, sitting, waiting, the sound of morning water fed by meager snowfields. A plane flies up the steeply walled valley, the sound of its motor wrapping round itself, beating, fighting against its own echo, then tapering off in a low, harmonious hum. So civilizations come and go, each in their own time, each in their own way, yet the sound of their final silence is always the same. The chickadee goes cha 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 cha, flittering from fir to fir. Same little lively bird of the fiddle-top spruce in the Alps. The quiet water flashes, sparkles, faint stars of morning light, fed by meager snowfields. Sitting, waiting, the final silence is always the same.